Start on time, anyway. Yeah, maybe 1 minute. Just 1 minute.
Yeah, Hideaki Shinifuji with what's up in the Linux IPv6 stack.
Yep. So let's get it started. So what's up in the Linux IPv6 stack? My name is Hideaki Yoshifuji from Japan. I'm working for Keio University, and I am developing a IPv6 stack in Usagi Wide project. Okay, so here is a table of contents. As you know, the Linux IPv6 stack consists of kernel, not only kernel, but libraries and user space applications. And the kernel part was merged in late 1996, which was written by Pedro. And after 4 years, Usagi project was founded. We are founded to promote development of Linux IPv6 stack for practical use. Well, in this presentation, I will run through overview of current status of IPv6 stack and discuss the future directions. So here's the highlight of supported features. So about IPv6 core things. So we, of course, support the core of IPv6 protocols. The IPv6 protocol, itself. And we also have some workaround about the attack against the routing header issues. You can imagine that using routing header, you can amplify the traffic between some links. So standard entity decided to deprecate that extension header. So, and we of course support the control message, and we support neighbor discovery like ARP in IPv4, and we support both of multicast listener discovery version 1 and version 2. To assign address, we have several protocols or methods. One basic one is stateless address autoconfiguration. Almost all implementation support this protocol. Oh, and we also support optimistic DAT, which allow us to use likely suit address, likely unique address before DAT duplicate address detection has been completed. Duplicate address detection will take 1 or 2 seconds, but for some application it is too slow. So there are some optimization for that. Pardon? Pardon? Duplicate address detection. So send some neighbor discovery message with the source address of 0, I mean any address, and wait 1 second and make sure that there are no answers from other entity, right? And we also support a neighbor discovery option notification through NetBrink. This is developed for support one laptop per child guys, RDNSS support. Originally, the change was suggested to implement a special message to user space, but as you know, we may have another options to send from kernel to user space, so we decided to implement in generic way. We have several demos to send router advertisement. The most famous one is RADBD, which is maintained by Pekka. Another one is famous routing daemon Quagga. So, next one. Advanced address configuration can be done by stateful address auto-configuration. You know, in IPv4, we have DHCP, and we in IPv6, we have DHCP v6. There are several implementations listed below, by DHCP v6, and DHCP v6, and DIBLR. Such a question? No? What question?
I thought that DNS mask.
DNS mask? Okay, okay. Different one. Okay. Sorry. So next one. So since we can have multiple addresses on the same node or multiple routes for on same link as default route, we need to select an address or route in intelligent or efficient way. So standard organization, IETF, has decided to specify such way, at least the default way. And this is the one, default router preference and specific routes specify how to select default route or how to send preference from router to client node. And we support that. And RADBD daemon also support to send such preference. And next one, default address selection. This is maybe important thing because if you have a multiple address with different prefix, you need to use a right address. Otherwise, you can be blocked because of the filter or something like that, right? So you need to select the right address. And we support our default address selection. In addition to the standard, we support unique local address or tailored address. We extended. We are going to support configurable policy table to change the preference of the address selection. And we are going to support configuring that through the IP route 2 command. And in user space, glibc 2.5 or later support the default address selection. And preferably, you should use 2.7 or later because 2.5 or 2.6 or anyway, prior to 2.7, there was a bug if you reload the policy table on fly. So here is the structure of policy routing. As we do for IPv4, we have a route table, and we have destination or source, and a traffic class or something like that. And when we select our route, so we check the packet and try to match the content with this rule entry. And rule entry point is associated with the action. And if action is to looking up the routing table, you can specify multiple tables. you can have multiple tables, and you can point one table. So like this. In one table, you have multiple tree, multiple radix tree. One main tree is for destination, and the second subtree is for source address. And at last, we have multiple routing entities at the leaf. Anyway, and this rule is configurable by IP rule subcommand. Well, there is a big issue in policy routing and address selection. As you know, we have source address in rule. So, and on the other hand, source address should be selected after routing decision, especially interface decision. So if the upper layer did not supply the source address, we need to select any source address anyway, in some cases, or for some application. So we decided to add a new flag, which is FIP rule finds S other flag. With that flag set to the rule, we ignore when we match the rule with the packet, the source address, and then find our best rule. And next, the try to decide the source address and check the result source address is appropriate for the rule we used. If the rule is not okay, try next rule or something like that. For IPv6 network management, we have several things, of course. We have SNMP things, statistics things, and in order, in addition to system-wide statistics, we have per interface statistics. Net SNMP patch is also available, but I'm not sure the reason, but it takes long, very long to push to the main line of net SNMP distribution. Anyway, but patch is available. We also have ICMP node information query, which can ask the remote node to tell us the node name or their address, list of addresses. We have a server remote side implementation in daemon, which is named NE4D. For client side, ASCII side is implemented in pin 6 utility. Well, this will be discussed afterwards, but anyway, we have several tunnels. SIT is used to build a tunnel, IPv6 in IPv4 tunnel, and IPv6 tunnel device. IPv6 tunnel is used for IPv4 or IPv6 in IPv6. So you can carry both of protocols within one tunnel device. And these tunnel device can be managed by IP command. Well, application programming interfaces. We have several programming interfaces to make networking applications. Most of our basic socket API is officially defined in POSIX, but IETF has released its open version of the specification and the number is 3493, and it defines core function and name resolution function in essentially. Well, for raw socket or more advanced networking applications, we have advanced socket application programming interface. Well, the problem in basic socket API is port space issue. Well, actually, several or different implementation implementations have different policy about the port space. In Linux, code existent of IPv4 and IPv6 socket on the same port, for example, port 80, is not allowed by default. This means port space is shared, completely shared, between IPv4 and IPv6. With IPv6, V6 only socket option is set to the IPv6 socket, the port is partially split on about that port. So if you set this socket option to the IPv6 socket, which is binding on, for example, port 80, you can create another IPv4 socket on port 80. But on other system, port space is shared, like Linux. But if you try to open IPv4 socket, it is automatically split. If you have IPv6 socket on port 80, and another socket is allowed to bind on the same port. But I do think this is not good, because we have SO reuse other socket option, right? And we should have similar thing to these cases, because IPv4 address is a part of IPv6. So it is like SO reuse other. So the user should explicitly tell that I am okay to share or allow IPv4 socket to get that port. And on the other system, on other systems, port space is completely split. So even if you open IPv6 socket, you cannot get IPv4 traffic at all. The example is OpenBSD. Anyway, advanced socket API. We had issues. We have at least two advanced socket API specification. One is 2292, and next one is 3542. And well, in 3542, some socket options has renamed redefined the meaning of the socket option. For example, to receive a hop by hop option on a socket, in 2292, you set IPv6 hop ops. But if you use 3542, you need to set IPv6 receive hop ops option. And IPv6 hop ops option is used to set a sticky option when used, which will be used to sending a hop by hop option. So different way. So we need, and of course we need to keep the binary compatibility at least. So we decided to rename the old option to IPv6 2292 hop ops and assign new values for these conflict options. So how to code is shown here. Well, first you need to check if the new API is available or not, and try to set that. And if failed, you need to try old application interface, because the application may be run on old system or kernel. So you need to take care of both. And if you do not have a new socket API, you need to try old one. And in this way, you can run on old Linux or new Linux or maybe other Kame-based BSD systems as well. This is how to code it in portable way. Okay, next filter. As you know, we did not have a stateful connection tracking system for IPv6. And when we were trying to implement that for IPv6, it is very bad to have two similar things for both systems. So we decided to consolidate one or make a general framework. And it is named NF contract. It supersedes IP contract for IPv4. And we also made an abstraction layer for kernel database, IP tables and IP6 tables, which is named X tables. And we also have an extension module API for both of IPv4 and IPv6. By doing this, it got easier to add new IPv6 matches or targets. And we successfully got more 14 modules nearly to IPv6. About IP security. 2.6 kernel support IPsec, and the framework or architecture is named Transform or Stackable Destination Architecture. And this supports both of IPv4 and IPv6. And we have many crypto or compression algorithm through crypto API. And we also have inter-family IPsec. It means IPv4 over IPv6 or IPv6 over IPv4. And this should help IPv6 deployment. And we also have bit mode, bound end-to-end tunnel mode. And we have many methods for key exchange, such as IKEv1, IKEv2, or KINK. KINK is protocol over using Kerberos. And this is the list of user space, key exchange softwares. Raccoon 2, Pluto, or something like that. And almost all IKE application supports basic key exchange. But we have some missing pieces, such as newer called AHV2 or ESP3. And we do not have extended sequence number yet. And we don't have PFP flag. About mobile IPv6. This is the official name is mobility support for IPv6. The implementation for Linux is called MIPO, mobile IPv6 for Linux. And the current architecture version is 2. The architecture was jointly developed by Helsinki University of Technology, HUT, and Usagi Project. And the architecture consists of daemon and kernel. In kernel part, we process packets itself. And in daemon, we handle signaling. And they control the kernel database. And with this architecture, we avoided patchy or intrusive implementation in kernel. And kernel changes required is relatively small than we had or they wanted to make based on MIPO 1 old architecture. UMIP is Usagi patched MIPO 2, and we have several enhancements or patches for it. Well, we support more advanced things. And most changes to kernel is already available in latest kernel. So for more information, please look at this page. And this is a figure of the mobile IP architecture. This is the mobile IPv6 stack itself, and this is the user land, and this is the kernel space. And kernel space and user space are communicated using netlink. And migrate is used to update endpoint information between the mobile IPv6 stack and IPsec stack. This use PF key or netlink interface, and Ike application updates the endpoint information using that notification. Transition mechanisms. Oh, we have basic tunnels, such as I said before, 6-in-4 tunnel called SIT, and 4-in-6 tunnel, IP6 tunnel device. And we also have inter-family IPsec tunnel. In addition to that, we have some advanced transition mechanism. Teredo is tunneling IPv6 over UDP through NATs. So you know, it is not so easy to cross the NAT. So this is one protocol. And Miredo is famous daemon to implement that. ISATA is infrastructure automatic tunnel addressing protocol, and the kernel side implementation is available from 2.6.24. And the daemon is being developed. We also have NATPP in user space, but unfortunately, we don't have kernel side implementation yet. Oh, about quality of the stack overall. Well, we need some criteria or measurement method to know the quality of the stack. One is we use TIE-HE conformance test and IPv6 ready logo. IPv6 ready logo is international activity to certify the implementation of IPv6 stack. Several sets of kernel and daemon got certified by that entity. For example, 2.6.11 RC2 with Usagi router advertisement daemon got host and router certification. Oh, sorry, this is typo, phase one. And at 2615, we got host site certification. On 2620, we got router site certification. So quality is good now. And we also run an automatic test system, which is named Usagi Test Lab, which is available at this address, but it is only available via IPv6 network. We plan to provide through IPv4 very soon, but anyway, at this moment. I am encouraging you to use IPv6, so maybe that is one reason, but anyway. Well, we run daily automatic tests to find regressions on our, and we use PAHI conformance test as basic tool, and the testing area is IPv6 core and IPsec, end node and gateway, security gateway. It is not available yet, but we are trying to support mobile IPv6 tests. And we run these things every day, every Git kernel in mainline. Oh, here is the evolution of the quality test with latest conformance test suite. This is the host, and we have almost full mark now. And this is router side. You can see some fails, but this is because of router routing header zero deprecation. We have already removed that function, but the testing specification has not changed yet. So that is the reason. So don't worry about it. Yep. So here is some discussion about or plan about upcoming features and feature directions. Well, we plan to support, finally, multicast forwarding. Original work was done by Mikael in France. I imported into my tree and rebased into my the latest kernel. And I fixed several bugs or issues in there. And I tried to push the tree today very shortly, maybe. Yeah, we are now testing the quality or if it really works or not. Anyway, I think it should be available for 2626. Next, not current window, but next window is the target. Anyway, after that, we plan to optimize some looking up cost or something like that about the multicast support. Miscellaneous things. So unfortunately, we do not have reverse path filtering. So maybe we should support that. Someone asked us to support that in NetDev this, I remember. But anyway, we do not have INET peer infrastructure yet. So this, in IPv4, INET peer infrastructure is used to implement randomized fragment ID and sync cookies. So maybe we should have that. And we do not have high capacity 64-bit counters on 32 systems. We do not have some of advanced API. Related to path MPU discovery. As I said, we do not have several IPsec things. And well, there are several interesting projects in the wild. HIP, Host Identity Protocol, is developed in several places. HIPO is a joint project between HIIT and HAT, and OpenHIP is also famous. And XCAST, Explicit Magicast, finally get into RFC. Finally. And well, their new version 2.0 is now under development, which use Flow ID instead of hop by hop option. You know, hop by option should or must be evaluated by every router, so hardware vendors did not like that. So they asked them to change the spec. But by using the flow label, there is a chance to build the support in user space, maybe. Several further future directions. Well, now we have many, many things in IPv4 and IPv6, and we think it's time to clean up IPv4 and IPv6, both of them. Maybe by consolidating more things between IPv4 and IPv6, and make allow IPv6 module unload. I mean, you know, if you load IPv6 module at this time, you cannot unload. But anyway, it's better to allow it. Or maybe even for IPv4 module, we should be able to unload it. Anyway, it may not be required at this moment, but somehow. So conclusion. Well, we think we have good thing on the table, or we have good stack now. So the rabbit is finally, well, we started the project construction in plan to be concluded in this March, because its mission has been achieved to make the stack stable and for practical use. And now we are getting more eyes from not only Japan but from over the world. So it is a very good thing. So we decided to conclude our consortium. But we will still continue development and deployment of IPv6, and we will shift our focus to more advanced or further things. So Linux IPv6 has a lot of good practical features, and more good things will come soon, and we will successfully conclude in this March in order to shift our focus on more advanced research and development items. And of course, we do not give up. And yeah, this means to focus on further development, and maintenance and development will be continued. So that's all. So any questions? Pardon? Okay, oh, of course. Or maybe I should give microphone.
Yeah.
Testing.
Yeah. And we have IPsec expert, and so ask him about IPsec.
I just
questions.
Had in Jonathan Corbett's talk, it was mentioned that there was quite a bit of IPv6 merging in the 2.6.25. Coming up. Have you got any information about what that is exactly that's going on there?
Pardon me? Corbett?
In Jonathan Corbett's talk, the kernel overview thing recently, he just talked about quite a lot of IPv6 code merging into 2.6.25. And I was just wondering if you knew what that is.
So, someone thought about that? How about?
So it's the stuff that's been merged for 2.6.25 is mostly for IPsec and IPv6 support. It's basically filling in the blanks. There's been a recent new revision of the IPsec RFCs. If you look at 4301 up to 4309, there's basically a new revision of the entire IPsec architecture. So the stuff in 2.6.25 is basically filling in the stuff. I mean, there's the blanks, which we, the missing bits that we need to do, we needed to do to support these new revisions.
Thank you very much for the talk.
Thank you very much.